Hi everyone, my name is Adriana and I'm here again with Broderick.
Hey, what's going on, peoples?
So, Broderick, today I wanted to talk to you about what your daily routine was like in prison. So, can you just walk us through what a typical day would look like for you?
Yeah, I would say I would just use like the busiest day, like, because all days vary. You may have a yard some days, commissary school. I'm just going to do like the busiest day. And I would say first we got to wait to count. Count come, the police come. We call them police, but they're correctional officers. They all cops to me. They come do count at 7 in the morning. They come wake you up, tell you to recite your number and whatnot. So yard maybe be like 7:40. So 7:40 to like maybe 9 o'clock. Maybe 9 o'clock, we got yard. So you don't have time for a shower because you got class, you got school.
So now it's 7 in the morning to 9 in the morning, and then you have class that starts at 10:30.
Yes. So we got that. Now we got that. Say commissary be about like maybe after lunch, so that'll be probably like 12:30, 1 o'clock. But we don't get out of class till like 1:15. So most people should take they commissary bag there to school and hope and pray that they'll walk you over to commissary. And then after that, it's like 1:15, 1:30, they'll walk us back to the cell house. Then from there, you got from by the time they that up to our cell, it's like 2 o'clock. So now you can't do nothing because you got to get ready for the second shift. So 2 o'clock, what I would do, I would probably like take a bird bath. What we call a bird bath, just like, you know, washing up in a little sink in the in the cell room. So I'll put like a little curtain up so I won't get no type of sexual misconduct charge. If somebody walked by or whatnot, you got some people who don't do it, but it's about me. So I put it up and just take a little bird bath because I've been sweating, working out. And then like 3 o'clock, say it's a shower day. So they run showers 3 o'clock. Soon as they do a second shift count. So second shift count come like 3 o'clock. They want to hit a number and all that good stuff. Then shower time. It's my day, so I'm gonna say shower time. So we'll go to the shower, take a shower. That's probably like an hour. So now it's like 4 o'clock. So we'll come back to the cell. They pass out mail. So just say I just happen to get some pictures or a magazine or a book or something that's gonna take up time. So I'll look at the pictures for a long time because I reminisce on the good days and see how big my kids got or my niece and nephews or, you know, whomever sent the picture. So I sit there for a while and just, like, think back. Then say I got, like, homework to do. Well, cell work to do because I'm not home. Cell work to do. And Lord knows it ain't, you know, thermodynamics or something like that that I need, like, my tutor or something to break it down. But yeah, I do that. I'll probably do that to like 7 o'clock because that's when like all the good shows or a basketball game I come on. So 7 until then, like say you didn't get a phone call, that's only 20 minutes if you ain't got other people's phone calls. But a lot of people's, like older guys, barely use the phone. So they'll give me their phone time and I always look out for people's anywhere now, so they'll just give you want this phone time. I'll be like, yeah, you know, I got kids that I like to call and hear their voice and ease my suffering. So then I would just sit back and chill. And then, I forgot about child. So we'll take a shower, and then we got to hurry up, you know, dry up. So about like 5, because we just to go to child. We'll go there after like for an hour, 9, 6 o'clock. That's when I, you know, read the mails and pictures and whatnot to like 7, sometimes 8, sometimes I just hold it. Then I watch TV like 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock. I got the music in my ear. If I ain't got the phone, put my tablet, play the music, and that's how my day go. That's what we call a busy day because I was barely in the cell. So that's a busy day.
And what time would you normally wake up?
Oh, 4 in the morning because you got to eat breakfast.
So first you would eat and then you would start.
Yeah, 4 in the morning, I'm up. Then I work out from like 5. You say what?
Then you might be able to go to the yard.
Yeah. Okay. But I get my morning workout on every day, like from like 5 to like 7.
So on your busiest day, you would spend maybe from like 5 or 6 p.m. until the next morning in your cell?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about like the slowest day?
The slowest day? Yeah, we just say we just got like classes. So that's from like 10:30. They'll come get us around like maybe 9:30. 10:30, we back in the cell house at 1 o'clock. Then we go to trial. And then we back in the cell. So, yeah.
Be in there all the way from the time, which you said would end around like 4?
Yeah.
And that was basically, it would just be to go outside to eat and to go to class.
That's it. If you ain't got class or you ain't got no job, you in the cell at least 23 hours in Stateville.
So what is the roommate situation like? Because is it usually 2 people to a cell? And like, how does it work? How do they put you guys together? And how does that work just sharing such a small space?
Well, in Stateville, they didn't care who got in the cell, which that's why it's so much fighting and warring going on. They supposed to look at the gangs. Then they supposed to look at the, like, you know, the size difference.
And they race as well, right? Because it's pretty racially segregated.
They supposed to, especially if they got like a swastika tattooed on them, and we got like Black Panther or, you know, the gangs, Black Disciple, Black Stones, Black Gangster. We have a different mindset toward, like, you know, the white gangs. It ain't even about being racist and how to, like, the supremacists is, them white privileged cats. The Black Disciples is mostly like, okay, you against us, we against you. You know what I'm saying? Like, the hate against us, because it got the same Black Panther mindset when it comes down to the Black Disciples. But, you know, Stateville didn't care about none of that. And Pinckneyville as well. They called Pinckneyville Pick-a-Niggerville. And the cops were saying that. So they put a white supremacist in my cell. So we had odds. So they literature was like saying they hate us, and our literature saying we hate them. We hate those who hate us. And the white supremacists with the swastika signs and all that, you know, that's part of us that we don't like. So anyway, they put him in a cell with me, and he, you know, he spitting in the cell, basically like you marked his territory. So that was my first like real fight that they tried to charge me with, because he a white dude, he was tall. But he was only like 130 pounds. So, you know, in the cell's little, you don't have a chance with somebody like me, because, you know, I'm not that tall, but I got a lot of weight on me. But you have no chance. So I beat him and went to the cell. They tried to give me a whole nother attempt murder for that. But I beat that because it was their fault. He got a swastika tattooed on his head, and I got the sign on my back. So it's kind of like, dude, we for real about this because it's tattooed on us. So that should have been marked down in whatever they have when they move us in my files or whatnot. In my master file, it was called. But then Stateville do the same thing. It happened the same way. But then they start putting younger guys who like to scream all day. Had to fight again. It's like, no, you're not finna do this in the cell with me. Till like my last 3.5 years, they said I was unfit for a cellie because they kept getting beat up. But they don't care about none of that. They supposed to go through all, like, age limit. They got like a guy like 80 years old with a cellie that's like 22. They have nothing to talk about, and he gonna be loud all night and probably try to take over the old man. They don't care about none of that. They supposed to care about that stuff.
Yeah, how does it work sharing, like, So you're in school, but your cellie might not be in school. How do you like split the time? You want to watch one show. I guess you could have headphones, but they want to work out, and then you need quiet time to study. So how can that work?
It never works. They don't really want us to further our education anyway. That higher education is not really a thing in IDLC. Because while we at school, they're gonna put somebody in their own purpose to go through your stuff, each commissary, all that good stuff. Or he might be even be sleep while I'm in school, and when I get back, he want to get up and move around so I can't focus and whatnot. So that's all part of their plan, especially Stateville.
The average size of a cell.
Maybe 10 by 10, like if that. I know some cells, like when I was in F house, I was able to like lay across the floor, lay on the floor and reach my arms out, like going east and west, and I was able to touch the walls.
So maybe 100 square feet.
If that, because I'm only 5'7", so if I'm touching the walls, it's kind of like it's small,
How,
wall to wall.
what was in the cell? So like beds, the sink, how was what all was in there?
Yeah, they got the beds, the metal bunk beds, the metal sink connected to the toilet, and you may have like a little stool with a little desk right by the toilet. No, right by the door, because the head is by the toilet, on purpose. But I always laid the other way so I won't be caught up in that, wave of him taking a doodoo or something. But yeah, all that's up in there. It ain't much in there because it ain't enough room for things.
What about working? Did you work while you were there? Were you required to have a job? Because I think at some places you like have to have a job. At some you can choose to have a job.
Now, when in Pickneyville, I worked property, and that was a pretty pro a trustworthy job that they wanted me to work property. They only want people to work property who they could trust. I mean, I ain't stealing nothing because I know the struggle. Like, why would I do that to one of them?
Can you
But
describe what that job is?
oh yeah, that's like when you come in or when you go to SIG, they would trust me to go get like the guy's property that went to SIG and go through it, mark down. He got like, say 5 t-shirts, 2 pair of pants, 6 honey buns, 40 noodles. I write all that down, put it in, give it to the CO, the lieutenant, and then write down the other copy, put it in the master file. So when he come out and be like, man, I ain't get my shoes, it's, it leaves the shoes that was there. Either that, or they would say, I ain't think he had brung them, or somebody, his cellie took his shoes. But that's what property is. I just, go get all his belongings, write it down, put it in a master file so he won't say anything was missing, anything was stolen. And then what I'd done that they really didn't want me to do, but they said it was a good idea because a lot of stuff kept coming up missing. They will put him, if he ain't sick, they'll keep him like put him in a little cell. I go up there and just say, man, look, that's all I got here. Just every pull his whole box out. I go through it piece by piece while he looking at me. But if he like not in SIG, I just, we could go through it together. But they ain't want me to do that, but I did it anyway because I know the struggle. Like, I know I don't want people going through my thing, so I'm gonna do it, as a man, and put do it in your face so you know that I ain't the one that I never steal from you. But that's what that was in Pickneyville. Now Danville, that because of that, I was an administration specialist, and that was like I was just an administration building, and that's a lot of trust too, because I was outside by the front door, but dealing with administration work. And then we started the whole building block thing, like mentoring the younger guys and grooming them, keeping them right. But yeah, those are jobs I had. But most of them don't want you to have jobs, so. Or they got the stool pigeons getting all the jobs. So it ain't required. You could just be there and do your time and just it'd be long. But if you're working, for sure that you're gonna have like a little money for commissary.
Let's go and do some definitions really quick, because you said seg. That would be
Okay.
like segregation, solitary
Yeah.
confinement.
Yep, that's what
Gotcha.
that is.
And then you said who it might be getting the jobs. You called them.
Stool pigeons.
Can you do what
That
you
means snitches, people who work for the Internal Affairs or the Justice, the COs. And they go around telling on people, getting information, gathering information, going back and telling them like pigeons do.
So, how much were you getting paid when you were working in those jobs?
When I was working property, we got like, let me see, I think it was like $35 a month. And when I got to Danville, it was up to like, I think like $45 a month. So that's probably like, what, 70 cent a day, if that, real slavery.
Yeah, definitely a lot of companies who are profiting off of prison labor.
Yeah.
Since a day, and like I said, I know some of the women have been to places where they were forced to get a job, and it could have been something like that. Some people prefer to have a job because it keeps them more busy. But I like that it can at least be a choice that you want to have this job or not.
Yeah, they try to force me to do things and I ain't want to do like work like a porter. No, I'm not finna do that. Like, man, then you have to have a job. You have to go to school. I said they sent me home, so that made sense to them. They was like, so I guess that's why they took that off. So I got to do something. Send me home because I ain't doing nothing. So they ain't want to send me home. So I had to. They just left me
Okay,
alone.
you might be able to rack up like $40 a month, if that, maybe $30 a month.
If that, but then you got the industry, and you can make like $100 to $300 a month, but you got to be, you got to know the people, so you got to do things that you may not want to do to get up in there.
Like, well, what would be like an industry job?
Say like sewing the blues, getting the blues together for the inmates, stuff like that, or like getting like making the coats and the sheets and all that good stuff, or they had some that was like making stop signs and all type of signs, so they was using us, of course, for the cheap labor, but they was paying them like $300 a month.
Okay, which would sound like a lot of money there, but you could probably do the same thing out here for
Yeah,
maybe a
out
day.
here they probably get like $300 an hour. No,
So,
I think the Department of Transportation, they probably getting like maybe what, $40, $50 an hour. And they get that like they was not close to that, so.
well, even if you're making like $20 an hour and you work for 10 hours, you'd be making $200 minus tax. But either way, that would be quite a bit more over the month compared to doing the same thing while incarcerated.
Yeah, indeed, indeed.
So now I wanted to get into, because we're talking about how people might come up with money. What about things that are going around, like almost like black market stuff in prison? So, I don't know, things that people might sell, like cigarettes,
Oh, yeah.
like things that aren't necessarily supposed, I mean, they're not there, you're not supposed to have them, but they get inside and then you can sell them for like a really high price. Can
Oh,
you
for
talk
sure.
about like one thing, maybe even like that? I think you talked about like a dish soap or something, or was it like a floor cleaner?
Oh
Like
yeah,
something
like
that good.
a little thing of bleach or something, or Fabuloso.
Fabuloso. Yeah. Can you talk about like how that might get in there? How big was this product? How much would someone pay for it?
Well, I'm always talk about me and not put other people's, get them in trouble.
You
Me,
can
I
just
was.
say, if someone were to buy this, how much they would, it's just some imaginary person out there.
Okay. Yeah, I got you, but I use myself because I'm done with it.
You said it's fine. I'll still use myself.
Yeah,
Okay, go on.
can't nothing happen to me. Well, I would say when I was working, administration, I was able to get a lot of things, and they was letting me do it. It's like the Fabuloso bleach, like real toothpaste, stuff like that. So I would come in with like a, the travel size lotion bottle, maybe 0.5 probably ounces or something like that.
Yeah, and to travel size, it's at least less than like 3 ounces,
Yeah.
maybe an ounce and a half.
Yeah, stuff like that. So I will put Fabuloso in there and get like $5 for it. So a nice size Fabuloso bottle, and I got like maybe 50 of those little bitty traveler bottles, and I'm charging like $5 per bottle. That was another hustle. I was coming, everybody wanted it because it smelled good. You can make cologne out of that. You can make air freshener out of that. You could keep your cell smelling good. So just me selling Fabuloso, I was getting like an extra like $200 a month. And then like with the bleach, I was selling the same thing with the bleach, $5. So that's another $200 a month. So that's 400 right there that I was selling. And then like, of course, I did the artwork, tattoos, and cut hair, but I only did that to like my guys who I knew that was cool and wouldn't tell and all that good stuff. So I wasn't really doing that, but the haircuts, the only with the guys that I was, rocking with, that was like $20. And your tattoo depends on, what I got to do. But I ain't do nothing that was less than $50 there. And then you got like, I had the COs bringing me like liquor in and squares in. So a square was $10, just one cigarette was $10. And then like, I had like a fifth of cheap, very cheap vodka. It just probably had vodka on it. The gallon was plastic, so
That's what the college students drink.
yeah. So I had like a water bottle. I'll fill that up and I'll sell that for like $150. And guys,
Wow.
needed that just to get it. That's the escape. So I was decent in commissary to the point that I was able to send money home and still be daddy, get my kids whatever they wanted, because I was, I mean, you want to go to the store like maybe once a month in Stateville. So you got too much money you're making, you can't keep it on your books. So I just, send money home or just go on order stuff from the crib and send it home. Like I was sending my daughters things, my son home, I mean all my kids gift home, the women in my family roses home. I'm just ordering things because I had it, but I was doing my thing up in there.
That's really sweet. That could
Yeah, I
make me
remember
cry.
sending.
Think about that. All like you are making money that you could, I guess, just go buy other crap with. You could go buy a pack of cigarettes, but sending it home so that your kids
Yeah,
don't
people
have
just
to worry.
remember, man. Like I love my kids to death. I love those who love me and show me love. I love hard. I'm all in when I'm all in. So, anything I could do, I would do. But I was definitely doing that. And I also like, I do things to make me feel good. Like I had like I left but like 15 pair of shoes that were fresh. I mean, I do that. I was even buying some of the guys' shoes that needed it because I wanted everybody to look good when we was going to school. Because I was
So
making it. They know I was making it. They know how I was making it. But the ones who knew how I was making it didn't say nothing. So I always, look out for them.
when you left some things behind for people.
Oh, I left. Like I said, like 15, probably more pair of shoes. I left three TVs. I left two tablets. I left fans. Like I was just buying things just to be buying it, just to feel good for the moment. So I did a lot of that, like trimmers, all type of thing. Everything they sold, I had like multiple, like everything, like in twos and threes. So yeah, just to make myself feel good, because the mental illness, the depression, and all that kick in. It's coming to every time. I'm gonna go buy me some shoes. Stuff like that. But yeah, I got good. I was ordering me books, art material. So I did a lot with the money I was making. Like I was charging like I also charged like 140, depending on what size the portrait is. But it was no less than $150 for the portraits. Like people wanted me to draw cards. I don't draw like cards. I don't do things like that. But if you need something for your family or your kids, I do it for free. Your mother. But if you're just trying to like impress a female, you gotta pay for them. So I was charging like maybe like $10 for a card. Cause that ain't what I do. Cause that to me that's wasting time. I mean, you trying to impress this woman, you still got like 30 more years to do. She gonna leave you, homie. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. She already left.
Well, I think it's nice that you were still able to find some things that made you happy that you could buy. Which
Yeah.
brings me to my final question. What did you do to be able to find fun, moments of peace? What did you do while you were in prison to have any enjoyment?
Me getting on the phone talking to my kids, my mother, my grandma, God bless her soul. Like she eased all my just darkness. Granted, me talking to my loved ones, my family and whatnot. Then I of course talk to like random women, let them, lie to me. So that'll keep me, going. It's just to have a phone in my ear. But what I did mostly, I did a whole lot of reading and working out. Just to get my just to stay focused and meditation, whatnot. Did a lot of walking around there. It was hard, but just me being by myself, and that gave me that peace I needed, And then some of my guys who knew me, like, yeah, he having one of those days when they see me walking by myself. I'm always alone in there, but at least I come over there while we're in the yard and embrace everybody. Speak to everybody, but if I stay away, I mean I'm trying to get away, and we already respected that because I mean my manner, I wander real fast, But yeah, it was decent on that level, but I definitely use the phone or just lay down and listen to the music.
Well, thank you for sharing, Broderick. If
Anytime.
anyone would like to write us or ask Broderick any questions or myself any questions, or you have a loved one who is incarcerated and you would like to share their story, you can email us at piecesfromprison@gmail.com. And we will see you next week.
Peace out.